Thank you for joining me. I also want to thank my guest, Scott Plait. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Hi, Marie. Good morning. It's nice to be here.
I'm so glad you joined me.
Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. Scott Plait is a current board member of the LGBTQ Grant County Organization. Give a little introduction here about our discussion today, an important social justice concern, issue of equal rights and safety for LGBTQ people. It's a very important concern. It's a time when we have a painful awareness of the global persecution as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer people, and the opportunity to learn more about how uniquely vulnerable they are, and how discrimination occurs daily. With that awareness comes the opportunity to engage in changing the narrative, engaging in understanding the deeply rooted factors that perpetuate discrimination, hate, violence around sexual orientation and gender identity, and the toll it takes on individuals, families, and communities. Hey, my friends, my listening audience, wouldn't it be fun to be part of a cultural shift?
Amen.
That's why I invited Scott here today. Scott is an award-winning actor, director, and educator who prioritizes empowerment and consensus. He has decades of experience as a leader, mentor, expressive therapist, and coach. His students and clients work at the highest levels of the entertainment industry and as counselors, clinicians, educators, and clergy. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that kind introduction.
Of course, of course, of course. So the dialogue is big, it's vast, it's deep, but let's start somewhere. How about explaining to us about the LGBTQIA plus? Tell us, what does it stand
What
for?
is the act? It's grown more and more complex over the years, and more letters have been added, which reflect our recognition of how many flowers are really in this garden. Lesbian, gay, lesbian, bisexual, LGB, L lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersexual, and asexual plus. And the plus basically acknowledges that there are many other people who identify differently who are not included in that particular acronym. So that's what it's called right now. In the future, I would expect that to evolve as everything does. Nature hates a vacuum, so we'll get there.
How would you frame the social justice issues that are of importance of what is happening on the ground and in our society with LGBTQIA plus communities?
Yes. Well, as you rightly noted, it's an inflection point certainly in our society. And I think it's important for me to remember that the symbol of American democracy is not an eagle, it's a pendulum. So what we're dealing with right now is the end result of 8 years of a Democratic president under Barack Obama. And President Trump was there for 4 years. And President Biden is here now, and you can see that there's a struggle for the power over the narrative over what happens with liberal causes. I think in general, you can expect Democrats to want things to speed up and Republicans to want things to slow to a more measured pace. So understanding that process, democracy is really messy. So the patience with the process is a big part of what makes certain movements successful. So what's happening on the ground right now is in the past legislative year alone, something like 525 laws were proposed in states, in 41 states, that target, that's a strong word, but many feel as though it's true, the LGBTQIA plus community, and specifically, almost 50% of those target transgender youth. And that comes in the form of access to health care. For example, parents wishing, to be able to counsel and have transgender youth who feel as though they were assigned the wrong sex at birth, the right to begin to explore transition. Laws have been passed that deny transgender youth access to sports, for example, in playing for the teams and the sex of their choice, how they identify. And these are difficult, thorny issues to work out. 71 of those 525 laws have become passed. Many are already being challenged right now. So here's where the advocacy piece and the part of the movement that you recognized earlier becomes really important. There's a wonderful resource that I'm going to share with you. Human Rights Campaign, HRC.org, put out a press release, and it's on their website, basically www.hrc.org/press-release. And there's a guidebook that gives you a really fair compendium of state-by-state legislation, legislative initiatives, and where they stand. And it's very important for someone who wants to be a part of a movement to be informed about what the movement really means and what's necessary. So for people who are living in states where these laws are oppressive, the option is to move to a state where that's not the case. But for many people, that's not an issue. They may be taking care of elderly or ill family members. They may have close ties to their communities. The other option is to stay where you are and fight. And so democracy, as we said, is messy. Get involved in the narrative locally. Try to speak to people. Have difficult conversations with people that will have difficulty with these issues. That's the way to start, is get on the ground and start mobilizing. The changes we've seen up until now didn't happen by people sitting in front of their televisions or their computer screens, just throwing their hands up and saying, this is just terrible. What someone should do something. Well, it needs to be us.
Yes, Human Rights Campaign is a wonderful resource.
It really is.
It really is. And when I was doing my homework for our interview today, I was surprised how many proactive websites with lots of toolkits are available, very easily accessible. And one is called MAP, which is Mapping Progress, Movement Advancement Project. And it's an independent nonprofit think tank to create a thriving, inclusive, and equitable America. Well, I'm all for that. So they have maps. Actually, they do have physical, you can see the map, what states legislation either pro or against people having equality. One thing I was happy to say is that New Mexico
ranks high.
And there are 22 states that fully and explicitly prohibited discrimination against LGBTQ persons in employment, housing, and public accommodation. New Mexico is certainly included in that.
It's a blessing to live here, mm-hmm. for sure, in more ways than one. There's a wonderful sensibility of live and let live. And I know that has a very broad definition, mm-hmm. but it's reflected here legislatively. And I think the more conservative among our citizens would disagree with some of those laws. But the important thing is to have the conversations. I don't think people should be attacked for their beliefs. I don't think people should be required to believe a certain thing, but I do believe that there are many, many important values that we share as human beings that we have forgotten we know, and we have forgotten we share. We are in a digital age, we are further and further away from what I'll just call tribe and fire, the council, the collective process of consent and consensus building. I think getting behind a computer screen and reading something that enrages us is not dissimilar to being behind the wheel of a car and experiencing road rage. It's a bubble of safety that allows us to behave emotionally in a certain way. And make no mistake, the internet and digital media thrive on emotionality. Being with people in real time really compels us to take on that other point of view to a greater extent. So it's really important that the conversations happen, and which is why I'm grateful for this time with you today. Even though it sounds like we're on the same side of this issue, I'm grateful for the opportunity to just express, you know, what's important to me. Because the same website, HRC, which I shared with you, basically has declared a state of emergency for the LGBTQ community nationally and internationally. And, you know, we at least within our republic have a means to redress grievances. I shudder to think of nations across the world that don't have these processes in place and what's available for them. We have to be mindful of our privilege as well as be mindful of our responsibility when we realize that the least among us need to be represented legislatively. Then I think we're going to be on the way to the kind of inclusive democracy that our founding fathers had in mind when they wrote the Constitution, that all men and women are created equal.
Give us an example of a how-to action for someone to do.
Join a school board. I mean, if you look at the state of Florida, that's what's in the news right now. There, you know, Governor DeSantis's, you know, don't say gay laws, and I would say the reexamining of the Florida Department of Education's AP standards, get involved in school boards and begin challenging the assumptions that are making these laws and legislative proposals possible. There is perception out there that education is a threat to the status quo. And I feel as though most people experience conflict when they forget that those in conflict are usually fighting about the same thing, not different things. And I think if we were to get together and hear each other out, again, have the difficult conversations, there are council processes across the world that can govern this. There's one that happens in the Middle East, I'm forgetting its name, between Israelis and Palestinians every single year. Now, these are people with thousands of years of skin in that game who find a way to come together and listen. So if they can do it, we can. And so getting involved in a school board, beginning to speak to your local representatives, register your concerns. The democratic process works when the point of view is expressed fluidly in the means and channels provided. If we sit there and throw up our hands in isolation, as I said, nothing will change, and all that will happen is we'll just simply become angrier. If you're so compelled, begin to run or become involved in local government so that the narrative is not dominated by one side only. I think, for example, with Roe v. Wade, and it was recent overturning by the Supreme Court, is people who were for abortion rights underestimated the degree to which the right was passionate about the issue of abortion. And I think they've got the right to their belief, but I think it took so many people by surprise because they thought it was settled law. Well, it's not. In the aftermath of all that, you can see the kind of work that's happened. I mean, President Biden signed an executive order a little while ago projecting, basically targeting conversion therapy, which is, you know, many laws were coming up in states that were forcing young people who identified sexually a certain way to go through conversion therapy programs, which are damaging long term. Basically, I'm trying to think of a law he just passed, just really in 2021, protecting, it's the Respect for Marriage Act, right? So the work in boots on the ground efforts are paying, you know, is paying dividends. We have to stay with the process. I keep thinking about people during the 1980s, which is when I came out and when I came up. Larry Kramer began ACT UP, the gay men's health crisis, a voice screaming in the wilderness in the Reagan administration, which was notoriously tone deaf and not paying attention to any of that. And look what became of that. It can happen, and the system can work if we actually stop thinking it can't. I think the tricky part for us nowadays is the current conflict is aimed at undermining our faith in the system we have to the point that we throw up our hands completely and say there's no point in trying to change anything because it's not going to happen. It does happen, but it is messy. And we have to be patient and embrace that mess and go for it with our whole heart and all of our conviction. And as you said, create and be part of a movement.
Indeed. You are on the board of the local Grant County LGBTQ mm-hmm. organization. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what that organization might be doing on the ground.
I'm so glad you asked. My husband, Cyril Nalty. Cyril is the president. I am the secretary, and I'm kind of filling in gaps where they're needed. We have other board members who are doing remarkable work. We inherited this leadership position recently in the past maybe 6 to 7 months from Ted Tufaris, who was on the board. Candace and George here of KURU were also on the board for many years, incredibly supportive. What we're doing right now is getting Pride back up and running. So that's September 9th, Saturday, September 9th, just next month, about 4 weeks away in Gough Park from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pride's been shuttered for a few years because of COVID, and we're taking the dust covers off the furniture and seeing, you know, which of the remaining chairs and tables can bear weight. So we're figuring out what our systems are and putting some infrastructures in place, like making LGBTQ Grant County a standalone 501c3. Right now it's part of another 501c3 as a program of it. So it's difficult when we come to raise money together under the same IRS EIN employer identification number. It's tricky, so we're trying to create our own, but we're going to get Pride up first and then address ourselves to that. And then I'd say the next most important priority is to give LGBTQ Grant County a year-round presence. So it's not just a committee that gets Pride up in September of every single year. The programs we're looking at specifically involved at the beginning, getting more and more and more young people involved in this organization. I mean, we look around our board of directors and we're all old, we're all white, mostly male. that's not representative of our community. Certainly, everyone is English speaking. We have a couple of people who are bilingual. I would like to get more women, more Spanish speakers, so that when we hear an MC on the stage, it's a bilingual show. Because I think Silver City, people in Silver City think of Silver City as the paradigm, but this is a region. If we're Grant County, we have the mining district, we have the rural areas that need to be represented. And I think those needs are stronger. So an interesting statistic that I think I might have shared with you when we met the first time was that something like 70% of the homeless youth in Grant County identify as LGBTQIA+. Alongside that, we have a committed, passionate core of senior LGBTQIA+ citizens in Grant County. And I'd like to figure out how we can bring people together across the generational spectrum, because the older folks have some wisdom to share, and the older folks and the younger folks would like to know that they have a future. So that's a first step. Identifying funding sources for programming centers, placing those programming centers or drop-in centers in locations that feel accessible to the entire community and not just Silver City is important. We have to remember that we are LGBTQ Grant County. And this happens to be the county seat, but we'd like to serve the whole county.
That's a wonderful vision.
Thank you.
That
pray
is
for us.
Well, pray for you and also give you a voice on Gila Members Community Radio.
Well, this is wonderful today.
Thank
you so much.
It is. I find it to be very exciting when we start to, all of us think what we think, right? But when we start to have this dialogue in community, that's when something happens.
I completely
for me,
agree
that there's a spark that happens.
I completely agree with you, Marie. We remember what we know.
Yes.
We remember what we share.
And being aware of what's going on for other people. Get out of our little tent, our little vacuum, take our blinders off and just like, hey, what is going on? You know, this isn't just about parade or a festival. It's about life.
Precisely. It's about someone who might, I look at, I'm going to get emotional here.
Allowed, my friend. I have some tissues.
I appreciate it. I look at someone who might be one of those homeless teenagers wandering into Gough Park on September 9th and trying to find someone that looks like them. And I'd like to be that organization. So we're a small community. We're a rural community. But we're also a remarkably diverse community. And diverse mm-hmm. has become a difficult word in this day and age because of all that it defines itself against. But I think if we were more representative of every resource we have, or as many of those as we can muster, then we can truly say we're a community-centered organization like this radio station is. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is community radio at its finest. And I'm not just saying
well,
that because
you.
I'm on your show, but it is. I mean, you're having me in, for example, and I've seen the diversity of the programming, and it truly reflects the community, and we'd like to do that as well.
People in this area, they show up.
They sure do.
They show up. And sometimes you show up, okay.
Now what?
Now what? Yeah, right. Now what can I do? How can I connect? And putting out those threads to let somebody grab onto a thread. And then how do you reel them back in? Especially with the youth. They're so vulnerable mm-hmm. on a good day. Mm-hmm. And if you're a homeless person, cast a lifeline. Carefully. Cast a lifeline. How to connect. Keep that connection going, you
oh,
see?
Oh, it's so important.
Yeah, it's what a wonderful vision, though.
It's not enough just to mean well.
Yeah.
It really isn't. You got to kind of show
most
up.
Most of us all mean well on a bad day. So.
And as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But I want to take a moment here just to acknowledge the efforts of Ted Tafaris, who preceded
yes.
us
uh-huh.
in this role. He was, and also Ward Rudick. Ward Rudick created the kind of community that gave birth to what Ted created in the Pride Festival back in the mid-90s. The $1.98 show, which is something that everybody here knows of.
I don't. You have to tell me about that.
You got
to
come.
Keep going.
It's
going
to be Saturday night, Saturday night of Pride, September 9th at the Whiskey Creek Zocalo. That's another place that's been incredibly supportive. Melanie and Jeff mm-hmm. have been amazingly supportive of what we're doing. He's bringing the $1.98 back. He's been super supportive of LGBTQ Grant County. So all of his efforts and all of his parties and all of his variety shows created the kind of Wild West gay community that Silver City actually has. And that gave birth to Ted Tufaris's efforts, you know, in 2016 to mount the very first Pride. And so I think, you know, after the hiatus, you know, we walked and we found him and asked what was going on here. He explained, you know, that he'd like to get this back up, but he didn't want to be responsible for doing the whole thing all by himself again. So he's on the board as our treasurer, which is invaluable because his experience and his connections, which run really deeply in the community, are essential to the success of this enterprise. And he's on board just to make sure we're not going to take all the money and run off to Bermuda, you know. So, no, but I mean, honestly, I need to tip my hat to Ward and Ted specifically because they are my tribal elders here. Mm-hmm. And they created these opportunities before we even got here. Cyril, my husband, was born in Silver City in 1957, but he didn't grow up here. He grew up upstate in Theroux, just between Gallup and Grants. So for him coming home and getting
that's this, way out. That's Wild West.
It's
that is really Wild West.
Continental Divide, Wild West. But it was a beautiful place for him to grow up. It's right on the southeastern edge of the Navajo Reservation. Mm-hmm. So he's got some wonderful ideas and a vision for this place he calls home. And so I'm excited to see them come to fruition and really excited to support him as he brings it forward. So he's done a great job kind of leading us. I'm probably a bit biased, but I mean, stepping back and looking at his ability as a leader, I'm very, very proud of him, very proud of what he's doing. And he's just stepping up.
Well, planting this on very fertile ground, I think.
Thank you.
I think you're going to do well. And
I hope so.
There are many aspects of this community that are welcoming.
Absolutely. And it's interesting moving here because I've just been here. We bought a house here 5 years ago. I began living here full-time 3 years ago, Cyril 4 years ago. It's interesting. It's in a way, it's a community of people who like to live on the edge or on the fringe. So I'm really curious to find out what the gathering principle or the organizing principle of a community that defines itself in a certain way by being not so much a fringe dweller, but by being a little bit outside the mainstream. Mm-hmm. What excites that group of people? And my gut tells me representation would, of as many different ways of defining our community as we can get, you know, get represented.
So building a coalition.
I would love that. For example, we were posting about our affiliation with PFLAG here in Silver City, which is long established. Damien Elson, who runs PFLAG, has been incredibly supportive of us. And we marched with them in the 4th of July parade and had a booth there at, you know, in Gough Park. And we had members of the community that were upset that we were affiliating ourselves with such a mainstream slice of the gay community, because the gay community is broad and diverse and rich. And, you know, I looked at it as an opportunity to open a dialogue with people who maybe felt overlooked. And they were incredibly responsive once they felt they were being included. So it was a pleasure to be a part of that.
Yes. Fertile ground.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yes, I hope so. Yes, I think the coalition building is a great opportunity. Tell us a little bit about, or a lot about, mm-hmm. what your Grant County LGBTQ organization offers. If someone wants to reach out to you, wants to have a conversation, is seeking help, guidance, concerns, tell us how people can interface with you.
Great. So we have a new website, which has a way for people to get involved, and it's basically www.lgbtqgc.org. It's under construction. Many of the functions are up and running. There are a few things that still have to be plugged in. Hopefully they'll be run and completely set up by Pride, which is about a month from now. So there's a place for people to simply get involved, to get on our mailing list. We will be creating a newsletter, a monthly newsletter that creates community just by keeping people informed as to what's going on. We had our nose to the grindstone. We're working so hard. We realized we need to do a better job of communicating to our volunteer constituency. And that's one regular way we can. There is a phone number. And I'm so if
the number is
a working voicemail, 575-777-0647. Voicemail is checked regularly. Please leave a message. If you are not, for example, computer savvy and preferred the old-fashioned way of communicating by phone, we'll direct you to right resources and to the right people. There's an email address, which is also accessible via the website, and that is info@lgbtqgc.org. And those emails are forwarded directly to admins on the board. And then the website, as I mentioned, is www.lgbtqgc.org. I would invite you to go ahead. There's also Facebook pages. We're on, it's called LGBTQ Grant County on Facebook. And there's also Silver City Pride on Facebook. Actually, no, I got that correct address because there's another Facebook page out there that is Silver City Pride. It's Silver City LGBTQ Pride Festival.
Silver City LGBTQ Pride Festival.
I know. That's a mouthful. But those are ways to get in touch. And we really encourage people to try to interact with us, interface with us, let us know you're there. We're new to the community, so we're allowed to play the new guy card for a little while longer. After a while, that's going to go away. And so the best antidote to that is making yourselves known to us so that we can hopefully, you know, represent you as well and get to know you. The main thing I would say that we need right now is we're looking for some board members. You know, as we mentioned earlier, our board, looking around our board, we're not as representative as we would like to be. I've made some inquiries in the community. Specifically, we're looking for people who are bilingual. We're looking for people who are women and who've got some expertise in social media, marketing, community relations, those kinds of things to help us create an entity that is truly representative of this region and not just Silver City.
Scott Plate, I'm so grateful that you came to GMCR this
morning.
Well,
thank you for walking up to me when we met at the UU Church when Cyril was given an opportunity to do a little talk, and you walked right up and said, hey, I'd like to have you on the show. I was like, thank you. I would love that. So thanks for that opportunity.
And I want you to know the mic is open.
Okay.
Our door is open and the mic is open, and because this is community radio. And I'm so happy to be here on this Tuesday morning with Tuesday Morning Beat. And thank you, all of you who are tuned in to listen today. And once again, the resources that have been mentioned during our interview with Scott will be posted.
Say one more shout out to your colleague on the station, Candace Burke, who's had me on a couple of times.
Community Corner, Candace Burke.
And
yes,
she's been
incredibly
supportive, and as have you. And George, her husband, has been incredibly supportive. So thank you all for helping us get the word out.
All right. Well, we're going to sign off this morning on KURU 89.1 FM and GMCR.org, streaming online at that website. And here we are in Silver City, New Mexico, a voice with a choice for Southwest New Mexico. Thank you, Scott Plate, for being here. For all that you do. And all that you're going to be doing.
Fun. You know, it's a learning curve, but we're running up it as quickly as we can.
Awesome. Very good. Stay tuned.